recorded live from the lobby of the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Peace, peace. What is up, you guys? It is your favorite twins, Ariam
and Yod.
And you're tuned in to the Soul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel, D.C.
That's right. Every Sunday here at 2 p.m. EST, your girls here talk all things music, culture, and everything under the sun.
Today we have a very special guest. Like we always do each and every Sunday, we have the talented photog shooter, the lady, the woman, the myth, the legend, all of that, China Keys.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Disoul Radio.
Thank you. This is so cool.
Oh my God. We're so excited to have you. I know we talked a little bit about it before when you just walked in, but you guys are going to learn a little bit more about who China is and what China shoots.
Can I just say your name alone is very, like,
legendary. China Keys.
I get that often.
Like, it's I like crazy. That.
Is that a lot of pressure?
A little bit. Like, I was at the dentist and someone was like, China Keys, you should be an entertainer.
Ooh.
Or be doing something. I was like, okay.
Okay, if someone at the dentist is telling you this, that says a lot. That says a lot.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, I guess.
I mean, think about it. Like, it's not like a friend or like a family member who knows you and is like, oh, your name, like, it's a stranger, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody that cares about your oral hygiene.
Exactly.
And I will say oral hygiene is everything.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what China actually knows. She's very well known in the DC area for her amazing photography. She is a very talented concert photographer, and we've seen your work more than we've actually seen you in person.
Yep. Yep.
And that speaks a lot because you're out here and you're working. Yeah. So we wanted to take the time to talk to you and just kind of figure out how you got it all started.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into photography.
So I started photography like in high school.
Okay.
I always enjoyed taking pictures just like of my friends and different kinds of things like that. When I was in 11th grade, I took photo one, and then in 12th grade, photo two, and that's where I learned, like, the darkroom piece of it. So I started photography in the darkroom, like, developing film.
Okay.
And then after that, when I went to school, I didn't really take pictures on, like, a camera. I used my phone a lot. So I was really doing a lot of, like, mobile photography or whatever. And people would be like, you have the eye. You need a camera.
Right. What kind of phone were you using, but if I don't mind?
What
you
did
don't
I
mind
have?
Using.
So this was, like, 2011, 2012. So I think I had probably, like, an NV2. I didn't have an iPhone. I know that.
Whoa.
I had, like, an iPod Touch and an NV2. I remember those were the things I was taking pictures
Yo,
on.
Yo, I forgot about those days. Like, people didn't even have iPhones, but iPod Touches to take photos.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yo. So it's that far back. And then I started hanging around with a bunch of, like, photographers. I went to Bowie State.
Mm-hmm.
And I hung around a bunch of photographers there, and they were like, you need a camera. And I was like, okay, yeah, I probably do. And one of my friends was upgrading, so he sold me his camera. So I started out with a D5100 and, like, a Nikon.
Okay.
D5100.
Yes, for those who don't understand,
yes,
what
I
that
shoot
is
with Nikon. And after that, I didn't really take pictures until 2016. So I bought the camera, like, summer of 2014. I shot a couple things,
mm-hmm.
But I really didn't start until, like, 2016. And that's really where it kind of began.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I shot my first festival in 2015. I actually shot Broccoli City.
Okay.
That was, like, the first...
The first ever one,
the
right?
The first... It was the... third one, I believe.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But that was, like, the first time I ever took pictures, honestly, with my camera.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was kind of crazy that actually
happened.
So
were you doing press, or were you just an attendee? And
I was doing press.
Okay.
I had a friend that was a blogger, and he would review different concerts and festivals in
okay.
the area. So he knew that I had bought a camera, and he was like, do you want to shoot?
Mm.
I was like, sure, absolutely.
Wow.
So taking pictures there, that was really the first time I ever took pictures of, like, a music festival or any music, anything. And then The year after, in 2016, I posted like throwback pictures from last year's Broccoli City because I was just like, oh, they announced their lineup. Mm-hmm. Here's the pictures from last year. Mm-hmm. And the media coordinator got in contact with me and she was like, can we use these? And I was like, absolutely.
Wow.
Because, you know, I was just like, sure. Like, yeah. I have been going to Broccoli City since the beginning. So I was like, absolutely. And then after that, I was like, if you need a shooter for this year, hit me up. Exactly.
You're obviously the right choice because they're liking pictures from last year.
Exactly. So, like, that's really how it started, honestly, is like just through networking and a random chance of it happening. And then from then on, I just like developed different relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here, like, 3 years later.
I know.
That's insane. Considering that was your first festival, and it sounded like, from what you were saying, like, the first time you'd ever really been shooting actively.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, like, I'd gone around, like, the monument taking pictures, but nothing that serious, you know? Yeah.
When you were getting into photography, did you have the intention to become a press photographer for concerts, or did it just happen naturally?
I never thought that this would be like the path that I would be on. When I first started photography, I really didn't want to take pictures of people. I didn't want to like talk to any. I was just like, you know, anxious, and I just felt like weird being a photographer, like taking pictures of people. Yeah. So I would take pictures of like landscapes and like architecture and different things like that. But on the flip side, I love music, and I had been going to concerts, like, before I even had a camera, I had been going to concerts forever. Mm-hmm. I was always, like, because there were a lot of, I always went to a lot of, like, standing room shows, so I always ended up making my way to the front.
Yeah.
So people always saw me, like, at the
so
front.
So you're
of
one
the
of those
shows.
People.
Absolutely.
You're, like, shamelessly.
Or, like, I would try to get there early because there were like techniques to it, like if there was a fight, you always knew that when there's a fight happening, you can like scoot in because everybody wants to watch the fight,
right? And that's like, your time to shine.
Absolutely.
That is so interesting.
I have anxiety to do that. No, I'd be like, I'm so little, like you saw me trying to carry that chair earlier, like I would, you know, literally get knocked over. So I'm good on that.
So how is it's interesting. Okay, so how is your taste in music informed the subjects that you end up shooting? Because do you end up shooting artists that you enjoy, or
absolutely.
Do you okay?
Like 99% of the artists that I shoot, I know the songs, I know the music. So like, I can kind of like fuse the girl that was in the front with the person that's shooting because I know all the words and I know when they're gonna drop and I know like the different parts of the song.
Right,
that I'm gonna do.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, you have to be kind of aware of that because. Like, Ariam and I were, like, you know, just, we've already known who you were. We've known your work for a while. So, like, we've already seen you capture so many artists from, like, Cardi B to Big Crit to, I'm, like,
J. Cole
to, like, anybody. I'm just, like, drawing blanks right now.
No,
but it sounds
Meg
like
Thee Stallion.
Anyone you could think of, debate, everything. Like, it's just interesting.
Anyone that's literally hot right now.
Yeah.
Like, the Grammy list, let's just say that.
Right, and it's like, it goes to show it's telling about your taste in music because you obviously have to have a pulse on who's making waves.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting, just in the world of photography, but specifically like live events and concerts, I think what's most interesting about that form of photography is that it requires so much of your attention to be divided, right? Because from my understanding, you're not only trying to capture a person, but like you're capturing their movement. Mm-hmm. And so there's a small window of time for you to get the right shot.
Absolutely.
How do you approach that moment when you're like, okay, like I need to get this moment or I need to get that moment or that movement or that motion or to tell a story.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind when you're doing that?
So like, you're absolutely right, because I feel like with a lot of different forms of photography, like if you're a portrait photographer, you can tell someone like turn your head this way or stand this way. With concert photography, you are not in control of that at all.
Because
they don't even care about you for real.
Right. Because
you're
just there.
Exactly. They really don't. You're standing in the pit. They're focused on the audience and they're focused on knowing their music. They're focused on like getting the crowd hype and all of that.
Right.
So like they're just things that like you have to really have like a quick split second kind of, I guess, like, when you're looking at how they're reacting, you have to kind of alter the way you're shooting. Mm. So depending on like what side they're on, what hand they're using with the microphone, you know, that'll change the way you're shooting. Because if they're only holding it with their left hand and you're shooting on that side, that's all you're gonna see.
Oh my God, I even realized that.
So there are a lot of like small details that you have to pay attention to in like a very small amount of time.
And you're like scanning the artist the entire time. Yeah. Interesting.
It of course comes with like practice, because you know, your first concert isn't going to be your best concert, but it definitely comes to practice. And like you said, scanning the artist, seeing like how they interact with fans, you know, like there are times when you know someone's about to throw water in the crowd and like,
right. Oh, you got to protect that camera.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this equipment is off limits.
Yeah. Oh, what happens when it gets to that point? Like what goes through your mind?
I'm just worried about it getting in my hair, to be honest.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That has definitely happened.
I went
before.
To an Adventure Club show at Echo State. And I got water splash on me. I was not very happy about that.
It's not fun.
No.
It's fun for the audience. And it's like, yeah. But yeah. It's like, I don't want to get this on my lens and all that different kind of stuff. But those do, like, some of like the best photos turn out with like people getting water splashed on them. Honestly.
Especially when you see almost like you can almost touch the water, like the texture of the water just like pops off the
I mean, I would love to enjoy the photo. And seeing it.
But you know what? I always hear that the most unpleasant experiences end up being the most beautifully captured ones.
That's absolutely true.
Like, if you see, like, an iconic photo shoot, like, of somebody that has, like, a, you know, I don't know, some food on them or some water or, you know, the model itself themselves might end up being, like, freezing cold, but it, like, leads to a beautiful, striking image.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine the same thing applying to concert photography.
I know, like, when I shot Rolling Loud in 2018 in Miami, you know, like, Florida, it rains on and off all day. Mm. I remember when Lil Yachty was performing, it was, like, pouring down, raining, like torrential downpour.
I think I saw that video.
They had
a live stream of it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah,
so you were there.
I was there, and I was like right next to him, and I got one of like my favorite shots of him, and it's just like him smiling with like the rain pouring down, and it's like it was the worst situation. I had like a trash bag over my head and over my camera, but like you're right, like some of the worst situations, some of the best pictures come out of it. So
wow. So. I mean, that is a really kudos to you, okay, for keeping the gear and yourself, you know, secure in that moment.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the different artists that you've photographed, and you have mentioned that you are a music lover. Who is one artist that you've always wanted to photograph and had the chance to photograph or would like to in the future?
I would love to shoot Beyonce and Jay-Z one day.
Yes.
When I was at Made in America, I got to take like one small random shot of Jay-Z, and I just couldn't believe it. But like, I really want to take pictures of Jay-Z if he ever goes on tour again.
We'll never really know with those two.
Yeah,
I know Beyonce. No, actually, Beyonce will probably come out with another project.
Yeah, I could see that.
But, yeah,
and then I don't know what Kanye West is doing in terms of music, but like I've seen some really iconic shots of him, and I really love them. So you know, if he ever whatever, but like pictures
but
I've
objectively
seen of him,
we could say like his staging is insane.
Absolutely.
And,
he's creative.
He's definitely
sure.
So I can only imagine what kind of photos would be captured in those moments, but we'll see. You never know.
We'll see.
Being from the DC area and being a most mainly known for concert photography, are you ever surprised by people learning how fun and essentially like lit the city is based off the work that you produce?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like people, you know, a lot of people, I know a lot of different photographers, not just from here, but like from other different parts of the country, honestly. Like I have photo friends from like New York and Miami, Chicago, Philly, like all of that. So I definitely appreciate being able to kind of showcase what this area has in store, because I feel like we're thriving more and more now, but you know, like for a long time we were kind of slept on, and I like to be able to work with the different artists in the area and, you know, shoot the different events that come out of this area, because there's so much that can like tailor to a lot of different people's specialties or what they enjoy.
There's like a thing for everyone.
Absolutely.
It's very vast.
Yes, absolutely. So I love being able to capture that.
So I have a question for you.
I feel like we were talking earlier, like, you know, you had most of your work take place in like the festival space and like live shows. And as an attendee, I can say that at times those spaces can be a bit demanding and draining. Like, you know, you're constantly on the move. It could be hours long, like you're around so much energy.
Yeah. Drink so water.
You got to hydrate, all that stuff.
Yes.
So as a concert photographer, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've always had this impression that it was always like male driven, like that space of like,
absolutely.
And so that could also be draining as well. How do you navigate in that space, or how have you made space for yourself in those instances?
I think you really just have to understand that it's going to happen, especially because it's a male driven space. I've gotten people that are like, you know how to use that? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I've been doing it for a long time, you know? So it's just like you have to have confidence in yourself that you're here to do a job the same way they're here to do a job.
Right.
And, you know, just assert yourself in that way.
Right. Especially when you're working and you're shooting like rappers
and the hip hop community is very like male oriented.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Do you ever find that people look at your work and are surprised that it's by you? Like, has that ever happened to you? Or do you think people just like instantly know that it's your work?
I've actually had people say that they knew a picture was mine before they knew it was mine. So that was kind of cool. Okay. I feel like that kind of speaks to me and like my own style and being able to develop my own style.
Yeah.
But I do think like in a male dominated field, I think that I'm part of what keeps me going is hearing people, other women photographers, like come up to me and say like, you inspire me. Like, that's crazy. Aww. Because I never thought that I would be this far, and I never thought that I could do as much as I've done. Mm-hmm. And hearing other people, like, you know, I've been doing this for like 2-3 years, but like I've always had other like women photographers that I've looked up to, you know, like Ravy B is like a huge inspiration for me, and I love her. She's so sweet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like having other people say that about me is kind of crazy still.
Yeah.
But it's just something that makes me want to just know, you know, like keep going and push on, because there are people looking at me, and I would love to see, you know, more women photographers in the music space. Mm-hmm. Because there aren't enough.
It just needs to become normal. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise to see folks like China, you know, just taking photos and asking her how to use her own equipment.
Right.
You know,
right.
It should just be expected.
Well, the work speaks for itself.
Thank you.
Clearly.
Thank you.
And other publications have recognized that as well, like Washington Post and CNN. Yes. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, that was actually crazy. Raz Nebu, who's a DMV rapper, I took pictures of him for his show last year, and just like took some portraits of him, and that being featured in the Washington Post was pretty amazing.
Yeah, especially like growing up here and seeing
exactly
that.
Yeah.
Such and an institution recognize your work. That's
right.
That's telling.
That was really. Yeah, yeah. I still have a copy. Like that's
yes.
amazing.
You need to get your copy. Tangibles, okay?
Yes.
I mean, it's cool to see it. I mean, obviously, Instagram is really helpful in putting the work out and getting it exposed. But having something like hip hop music being documented and it being put onto other platforms like CNN, like Washington Post, it shows that it transcends. There's not really any limitations with your work.
Yeah. And I appreciate that, you know, like that just kind of brings more attention to this area and like the positivity that comes with it.
All right, y'all, I'm loving this conversation, but we have to take a quick, very quick break. Our soul pick of the day is A Fool's Tale by Tory Lanez and Ashanti off of his latest project, Chicks Tape 5. We'll be right back. This is Just Soul Radio.
You got me, I got you. You acting out like you're not you. The rumors were not true. You giving away everything, I got you. Birkin bags and them tags won't get me back. I give a fuck, you blow 50 stacks. You mad as fuck when I spit these facts. Cause you can spend it 10 ways. Never cared about your money regardless of what my friends say. Cause there is nothing that they can't say. Sorry, if you really wanna, you come Wednesday by Wednesday. Boss bitch whip, I pull up, cause a frenzy. No scratch on it, no spot, no McKenzie. For all of my ladies, sing this song if you can do it.
Peace, peace. What is up? It is Ariam.
And Yodi.
And you're tuned in to Disoul Radio. That was our soul pick of the week. It was the goddess Ashanti and Tory Lanez. That track was called A Fool's Tale from his latest project, Chicks Tape 5. And if you were like us and grew up in the 2000s and loved the R&B and hip hop music that existed, this project is for you, essentially.
It is.
Which is really cool, is like, because obviously, China, you're a music fan as well. Yeah, so definitely. You probably understand the importance of this project or appreciate it, because he not only revamped these classics, but he incorporated the actual artists of that.
So exactly.
It has the likes of T-Pain, 112, Jagged Edge. I mean, come on.
Right. Snoop Dogg.
Right. So, of course, Ashanti. And Ashanti is on the cover. I'm
sorry. Like, do you know your market? Clearly, he knows. He knows what he's doing.
He does. I've listened to interviews, and he's said, like, you know, people talk about, like, the 90s and, like, Jodeci and everything like that. And he's like, he was, you know, 5 when that came out. But when it comes to, like, the 2000s hip-hop and R&B, that's really what he wanted to tailor.
It's very niche and very... Yep. Timely. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a really honest thing to do, because he was asked, I've watched a couple interviews as well, and he was asked about why he didn't put Jodeci. He was like, but I can't reminisce on that because I didn't grow up in that era.
Exactly.
You know? So shout out to Tory.
Yeah.
You did a fabulous job.
Right.
So and Ashanti looking like the same snack she was when Foolish came out on the cover.
I know. That was genius to put her on the cover art. Like, that was... Like
with the sidekick,
right? With the sidekick, yes. Details, okay. Details.
You would pick up on that photographer.
She had the printouts. Remember when people used to actually print out their photos and put them on their walls? Mm. I mean,
J14 and all those magazines.
Yes. Okay.
I remember.
So shout out to you, Tory, for shining light on an era. We appreciate it very much.
So, those who are just joining us, this is our conversation with the amazing photographer China Keys. We've been talking to her a little bit about how her experience is as a concert photographer capturing one of your favorite artists. I am sure she has. And being really recognized for it.
Yes.
And we've talked a little bit about her experience in the day-to-day of that. And yeah, obviously you have great taste in music.
Yeah.
It's
clear. You have receipts. You have actual receipts because your photos are fire. But it's interesting because we talked a lot about your concert photography, but you've also done or you've shot at red carpet events. More recently, you shot at the National Portrait Gallery, and you've captured the likeness of Gayle King, Anna Wintour, Annie Leibovitz. Like, what?
Which is so
crazy.
Which is insane. It's
insane.
Clive Davis, too.
And Clive Davis.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, what?
Yeah, so that was crazy.
What was that like?
It was amazing. That was my first red carpet that I ever shot before. I work with a media outlet, DefPen, and they had, of course, like, you know, applied to work as press there. So the CEO, he hit me up and he was like, hey, you want to shoot this? It's in DC. And I'm like, absolutely.
Say less.
Exactly. Like, what? Yes, absolutely. So that was amazing. I will say it was freezing outside.
Okay.
I didn't know that the red carpet was outside.
Right.
And it's cold.
It was so cold.
Oh no. Gosh.
But
see, unpleasant experiences.
Exactly.
Lead to the best photos.
I honestly think I'm just used to it. Like, I just know that, you know, the portrait that's gonna come out of this is worth what I'm dealing with.
Right.
But yeah, I had a great time. Just, you know, getting to network with a bunch of different other photographers and press that are there. You know, there were a lot of like big names. NBC was there, CNN, Essence, The Root. Like, there were a lot of like big name press people that were there. So that was really cool.
What company, you know?
It's a great company. Exactly. And I thought it was really cool that Gayle King, she like specifically posed for me.
Really? I felt that. She gave the energy to you.
Yeah, like she was walking down the carpet and she saw me, and of course, like, I'm like the only black girl standing there.
Aww.
And she like stares at me and she like specifically poses, and I was just like, I felt that so much, and that
Shout
made me
out
feel
to
like
Gayle.
Seen. Yeah.
I already loved her, but this just made me love her more.
Right. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's insane. amazing.
She like connected with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was really cool. And then, you know, just being able to be amongst legends, you know, Clive Davis, Earth, right. Wind and Fire. He said it was like 47 years since he had signed them, and they just they were getting an award. Michelle Obama was not on the red carpet, but she was being she was giving an award to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who was there, and he was really nice as well. And then Chef Jose Andres, who has a lot of like different restaurants in the city, he came out and gave everyone soup. He gave everyone hot soup, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing, because I was so cold.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, that's like really speaks to the type of character that he is, because he like just, he didn't have to do that at all. Like, that wasn't planned. He just came out and was like, give all the press soup.
Oh, that is so nice. What a lovely experience.
Right. For my first red carpet, I was like, this is not bad.
Wow,
like,
that's tight.
It's interesting that you, I just wanted to go back to that Gayle King moment, because I had actually watched a video on Instagram, IGTV, and it was a reporter, right? And she was on the red carpet for, what was that movie that Halle Berry is
in? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
With Keanu Reeves.
I can't remember the movie.
It's escaping my name.
Oh, John Wick.
Yes, the John Wick. Gotcha. Thank you, Yodi. Okay, John Wick. And I just remember that reporter having a similar moment with Halle, because she was really trying to interview her, and I believe someone on the PR side was trying to rush her off, and Halle saw her. She's a black reporter as well, woman, and she said, "No, I'm gonna answer her questions." Mm-hmm. And I feel like in that moment, that reporter, she made a video, and she was so like thrilled that she saw her, not literally, but like literally and emotionally and spiritually saw
you
her
feel
there,
seen.
You feel
know?
Seen. Yeah.
It's crazy. And she was, again, like you, the only other black reporter and press at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it speaks a lot to the lack of presence or lack of representation, even on that end of media, and how when we see someone like us, we want to give them their attention.
Absolutely.
You need to keep doing what you're doing. You need to be in these spaces.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely. And then someone else that was on my team that was doing the interviews, Polly, she was on like the other side, and she said Gayle did like the exact same thing to her.
Oh, wow. That's so
people
nice.
Were trying to like say, come on. She was like, no, I'll stop and I'll answer your question. So really feeling seen is something that's so important. And it may sound like cliche or may sound menial to other people, but like I had never felt like that before, you know. Like I really felt like she stopped for me, and like a black woman in media, like that just felt amazing.
And she probably was like, I'm gonna take a picture with her because she knows how to take a picture of me and people like me.
Yes, exactly. very true.
Yes, so shout out to that in that moment.
Absolutely.
So while you're here, we want to talk about more than just the fact that you shoot, but we want to talk about Community of Creatives.
Oh, yes.
So it's a recently released or launched platform that are spearheading with Sean Cooper. Who's also an amazing photographer here, y'all.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that series and what your motivation is for that.
Yeah, so Community of Creatives is an outlet that me and Sean kind of started because we know so many different creatives, like I had said earlier, around the country, around the area, and we just wanted to have like a platform for them to be recognized, for people to notice their work, for them to maybe get some opportunities, also to be able to provide like photo tips and different like business tips. And then we also want to do like workshops in the future and different events that are just tailored to photographers, different creatives in the area, and just kind of how they can build their brand, build up their network, improve their skills, tailor their skills, different kinds of things like that. So it just kind of, I guess, launched in September. We have our first event that you ladies will be attending.
We'll be there.
We'll be there.
December 7th. Yeah. It's called Cameras and Combos, and there are going to be a couple of like photographers there. Also, you know, like PR, different like brand directors and brand specialists. So I think it's really, it's not a panel of the event. It's more like a just an open conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of people that, you know, might have questions that they don't know how to ask, or they don't want to ask in person, or they don't know how to approach different people when it comes to that. So, like, we created community of creatives to kind of be who we needed when we first started.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, a lot of the questions that people need answers to, we, I guess, have developed the skills to kind of get those answers. So being able to speak to that, and then, you know, having a lot of different creatives in this area that can also speak to their experiences is something that we want to promote. We want people to see, like, hey, we're here. We're here to help you, you know. There's room enough for everybody.
That's so interesting that you and Sean both collaborated on something like this, because a lot of the time there are many very talented photographers out there that want to do this full time, but photography can be a very, I want to say, what is the word? I feel like it's more of like a, what is it? Introverted experience. Like, you don't have to necessarily do a lot of like interaction to capture a photo. Mm-hmm. But if someone wants to be, let's say, like, successful and want to do this full time, they need to learn the business aspect and how to actually have those interpersonal relationships with other people.
Absolutely.
And it becomes like a professional like encounter that they may not have the skill set to do prior, but events like this for photographers would be very helpful.
Right, right.
And build skill set.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, even some of the things we want to cover are just like how to send an email. Because, you know, some people don't know that. Some people don't know, like, the proper way to introduce themselves, to kind of say what they want and different things like that, or or how to find the right contact of the person you're looking to connect with.
Or even how to, like, I guess, build a rapport or, like, trust with a potential subject or a client or work that you're going to want to commission. Like, so I even think, I'm not a photographer, but I feel like even the moment of asking somebody, like, can I take a photo of you, and then, like, anticipating that rejection, how have you
even like an awkward, like, okay,
or like, or even like somebody feeling like, I think you're not the best fit. Like, what's one piece of advice you would tell somebody that's just starting, how to get over that hump?
You just have to get used to being told no.
Okay.
Honestly, because you're going to get told no, but then it's like, okay, I'll just
go on to the next person.
Honestly, you know, I do that a lot at, like, the different festivals. If I want to capture, like, lifestyle shoots or shots, I'm like, hey, can I take your picture? Majority of the time people do say yes. But, you know, there are people who say, no, I don't want my picture taken. It's like, okay,
yeah,
so let's go to the next person.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, it just comes with it. And being used to being told no is not just in terms of, like, when you want to take someone's picture. It's also, like, you know, with me, if I'm contacting someone in regards to, like, shooting a concert, you know, sometimes they'll say, no, we've covered all press, or there's no press for this event, or they just don't respond.
Right.
So, yeah, there's like, a lot of things that people end up having to just kind of get accustomed to, because that's just how it goes with this. But, you know, don't feel defeated, because there are so many other opportunities available.
So in addition to the actual event, there's a hashtag that says community over competition. Why did you guys choose to include that?
Because that's really the way that I and Sean kind of just live our lives, is like, we're not competing with the different DMV creatives that we have here, because, like I said, there's room enough for everyone. We work with so many different photographers in the area that it's there was never a time where I felt like, oh, I'm trying to beat them, or I'm trying to you know, be better than them. I just want to, we both are striving towards the same thing, and we're both, like, striving to be the best that we can be, and I'm totally okay with that. I appreciate being able to kind of spread the wealth that I have. I don't have an issue with that, and I think that's something that's very important to me. I know, like, when I started photography, a pretty, like, semi-famous photographer now that I'm not gonna mention, but, like, I asked them, like, what do they shoot with, and they said my eyes, and that kind of response was just so, like, disheartening to me, that I was like, I'm never ever ever gonna be that type of person, because I want there's room enough for everyone, and I think that everyone is able to, you know, blossom and grow in their career if this is something that they really want to do. And I want to promote that, because I'm totally okay with telling people, you know, what I shoot with, mm-hmm. How I got this person to do this, how I, you know, kind of go about my photography life. And I don't think there's an issue with that, because there's so many different opportunities for everyone.
That is so great. That's why I asked. I love it. I love that it makes it feel like it's an open door.
Absolutely. You know? And that's what I want.
And you and Sean are both so talented and so, you know, well respected in the area, that for you guys to team up, not only just team up, but to create a platform like this is very selfless. And mm-hmm. to share your knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm so proud of you and Sean. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And I want all the best for it to continue happening.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been only about 3 months, and we've gotten so much good, like, feedback about it. So I'm really happy about that. Just people from different areas of the country asking me, like, oh, what's Community of Creatives? Like, that's so cool to me.
Yes.
So I definitely want to keep building on that. I think it'll be really awesome.
Nice. So for people that will be in the area, can you let them know the date and time again, and Absolutely. The place of where it'll take place?
Absolutely. So it'll be at the Village Cafe, which is in Union Market, on December 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. And there's going to be a couple of featured guests and people that are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we'll be putting that out on our Community of Creatives Instagram this week.
Awesome.
And everyone will have access to the Eventbrite this week. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of promotion on it this week. So,
Yay.
Excited.
So, where can people keep up with Community of Creatives?
Our Instagram is community.of.creatives.
Yes.
Awesome.
Details.
Last question for you. What goals and visions do you have for yourself in the future, just for China?
Yeah. I would love to further Community of Creatives to, like, different parts of the country. I think this is, like, a pretty cool thing that we did, so I definitely want to do that. I want to, like, become more, I guess, like, I want to get my photo life more organized for next year. Like, I want to, like, plan out the different things that I want to do, the different concerts, the different festivals, the different events I want to shoot. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, my goal, is, like, getting more organized with that.
Nice.
I want to say that I'd love to go on tour, but I just want to, I'm, like, scared to say it, but I would love to go on tour.
With, like, a specific artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that would be cool. Or just, like, working with the different artists in the area. Like, I want to be one of the people that they come to when they're in this area.
Okay.
So if they have a concert, or if they have, you know, like, some
event.
Be,
like, the number
event.
One rec.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. I want them to be like, hey, China, I know you're here, like, let's shoot, or something like that. So I definitely mm-hmm. think that's something that I'm looking forward to for next year and the years to come. Yeah, and just continue building my brand, continue networking, continue working, being better, all that.
Nice.
Well, China, thank you so much for joining us today on Just Soul Radio.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure learning more about you, the woman behind the lens.
Right.
Where can folks keep up with you?
My Instagram is made the letter N and then CHYNNA. That's the same as my Twitter, and my website, madeinchina.com.
I love that handle. Love it. Well, again, thank you, China, so much
thank
again
you.
For joining
thank
us.
For having me.
Y'all, if you like what you heard and you want to keep up with the soul, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at DEUXSOL, and we'll be back.
And Instagram.
Oh my, did I not say Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you, Yodi. All of those at DEUXSOL. And if you like what you heard, we'll be back same time, same place next week. Till next time, peace.